6 o'clock on this Tuesday evening. Welcome into Overtime. I'm your host, Brandon Orrick, alongside Lucas Panzeca, Peyton Gallagher in here with us tonight. Guys, how's it going?
Pretty good. What up, Brandon?
How's it going?
Pretty good, pretty good. Getting better as we move away from this, from the Georgia game. Getting better, slowly recovering. But I will say this. The state of Tennessee football is not good.
And this weekend, it wasn't just with UT. I mean, it was every team in the state.
Except the Govs, baby, the Govs.
Let's go P. And who were they playing? You know who they were playing?
UT Martin.
UT Martin, you know what the score was? 7-0. Oh, man. Ooh.
It's only going up.
3-game winning streak for the Govs.
Yeah, I mean, that had to be the worst weekend for Tennessee football in history, right? I mean, man.
I loved seeing the Titans get pounded.
Shut up.
And then the Colts got pounded on primetime.
Hey.
By a team that the Titans pounded.
They didn't pound the Seahawks.
Pounded the Rock against the Seahawks.
The Colts have yet to play a division game, so come at me then, Lucas. Come at me then.
Who do the Colts have this weekend?
The 49ers. I will chalk that one up as a win.
Believe everyone in the AFC
South. And Peyton's getting a statue this weekend.
That's right.
So he will be in attendance there.
Maybe he'll leave at halftime again.
Get you some. No, he'll be there the whole game. He's getting Ring of Honor, statue. It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Peyton Manning, the best Colt ever?
I think, yeah.
Tim or Unitas?
Yeah.
Unitas won a Super Bowl?
He was on the team. He didn't lead the team to the Super Bowl. I think he got hurt that year. And anyway, that's not important. Let's get to what is important. Lucas, did you go to the game on Saturday?
I was gone by 7-minute mark of the second quarter.
Oh, you left early.
Oh yeah, after my buddy said after this 3-and-out, let's get out of here.
You didn't even stay to see Peyton?
Nah. We'll have plenty of chances to see Peyton.
No,
I was in the building when he was in with the athletic complex doing the interviews. I mean, I was like 10 feet away.
He threw a touchdown pass to Joey Kent. It was the best part of the game.
Best throw of the game, yeah. I mean, I was in the building when he was talking to reporters in the athletic in the studio over there. So I got my closest I've ever been to Peyton. So I was satisfied on that end.
Well, probably a smart decision on your behalf to leave.
When did you leave?
I left after they did the little thing with Peyton. I left.
I think it's funny how the non-Tennessee fans stuck that out the longest. I stayed well into the third quarter.
Oh, you went?
You went.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I stayed well into the third quarter. I think right at the beginning of the fourth is when I left.
You weren't. You didn't want to watch Vandy?
Oh, they played at noon.
Was it over by the time?
Yeah, no, I got to see them play in their entirety, unfortunately.
Well, Vandy plays Georgia this week. The same thing's going to happen to you all.
It could. I doubt it's that definitive, but it could.
But, I mean, just a totally embarrassing performance on Saturday by Tennessee. And where do you go from here? I think that's the question. We talked about it yesterday. Where do you go from here? We've yet to hear from John Curry, which I think is a mistake on his part. I mean, this is a time of crisis for a Tennessee fan. For me, Saturday, we were at DEFCON 1. DEFCON 1. And we have yet to hear from our fearless leader. I'm not even going to say fearless leader. We are yet to hear from our leader.
Yeah, and you would think that this would be the perfect time, right, with 2 weeks to get an interim in and kind of get resituated.
I'm not even talking about firing him right now. Just come out and say something. Be visible.
I mean, other than firing him, though, what is he going to say?
Say something.
Like, he's my guy, and then fire him next week?
Yeah, I agree with
that's what everybody does.
I agree with Peyton.
That's what everybody does.
He could, okay, if he's not going to fire him, he's going to come out and say what? Say, we're sticking with Butch, which is just going to send fans into a whole new frenzy.
The dreaded vote of confidence. Yeah, that's what you say. That's what everybody says right before they give him the axe.
I think the silence is more telling than if he had come out and said
I agree with this.
No.
If he's going to come out and speak, then he's going to have to fire him.
It's not like he could have said, you know, he's on the hot seat.
Yet. He's not fired him yet.
Think about the outrage. John Curry press conference scheduled for 1 o'clock on Sunday. Everyone's getting all excited. And he comes out and says, we're sticking with Butch Jones. Even if it's the dreaded vote of confidence. I mean, that's just going to send people. I mean, that's just going to do a lot more harm than good, in my opinion.
If you thought that stadium was empty in the third quarter of the Georgia game, imagine what would happen if he came out and said that for the South Carolina game.
That's what you need. That's what you need.
Not if you're John Curry, who's trying to make money for the university.
That's what we need.
Ultimately, he's not a man of the people. He's a man of the donors. And that's what's going to move the needle here in this situation. If it were up to the fans, I think pretty easily we could decide that Butch Jones would be out on Sunday morning.
He would have been gone long before that.
It's clearly not up to the fans. I'm sorry.
But the fans have all the power.
Do they?
Yes. Don't go to the games.
But Tennessee fans aren't going to do that.
Well, they should.
Yeah, I don't. We're never going to see Neyland with like 50, 60, 70,000 people for an SEC game. I don't think we ever will.
No, but if it's 80,000 for an SEC game,
still no. I think like 90 would be the least, which still blows most stadiums out of the water. But I mean, obviously to Tennessee, that's missing out about 15,000 seats. But no, I think the South Carolina game. I mean,
there will be no one there.
People paid for season tickets.
They gave season tickets away.
People are going to show up. The fans want him gone.
There will be no one there on next Saturday. Granted, there will be a few there. It will not be completely empty. There will be more than 70,000, but there will be no one there. The student section will be empty. It's a noon kickoff for South Carolina.
Yeah,
the
noon kickoff hurts.
41-point ass kicking. There will be no one there.
The new kickoff. I just think that the group of Tennessee fans that no matter what happens, that is going to support
the
program. Yes. Yeah. That's pretty much what we call them, the sheep. I think the sheep are a lot bigger of a group than we recognize.
I think
just families all over the state of Tennessee that are going to go to every home game regardless.
And on top of that, ticket prices will lower, and people who traditionally won't get to go to games will have the opportunity to go to a game, so they will.
I mean, if that's the case, I don't. I mean, if you don't get a chance to go very often, sure, fine, go. If you have season tickets and you want something to change, don't go. Don't go to the games. Don't pay $20 for parking, and that's on the cheap end.
Easier said than done, though. You pay $50 for a ticket, and then you just choose not to use it.
I know it's easier said than done.
And the university's already made money there, so they don't care.
Look, make no mistake.
But they're not selling.
John Curry's hearing from the fans. I mean, his Twitter mentions are he's getting notifications every day. The Rock is being painted. John Curry is hearing from the fans. We don't need it. 80,000 people in Neyland Stadium to know that the fans are not happy with Butch Jones.
And don't get me wrong, I think he's gone anyway. I think Butch is. I think we found that out on Saturday that he's gone. To me, though, what doesn't make sense is why do you hold on to him any longer than you have to? Cut the cord. It is obvious he's gone. Cut the cord. What did we hear? What did we hear as a reason for keeping Butch Jones? Oh, you got to keep him to hold the recruiting class.
It's falling apart.
It is dwindling before his very eyes. It is collapsing on itself.
The Cade thing is the bedrock. Cade Mays has held this class together. He's recruited all over the country trying to get guys to come to UT, and if Cade Mays isn't all in, you got a real problem with that class.
I thought I went kind of hard yesterday, but no. No, I'm just now getting into my groove.
Tell you one thing, Butch Jones makes for good radio.
I mean, yeah, Knoxville sports radio just has to be the most entertaining in the country right now.
It depends on who you're listening to.
Yeah, that's a good point.
If you want to join us, get your thoughts heard. Always want to hear from the listeners. Give us a call, 865-546-8200. 865-546-8200. When we come back, going to talk about some possible replacements. Chip Kelly. Peyton is anti-Chip Kelly. As a Vanderbilt fan, Peyton is anti-Chip Kelly.
Why'd you have to qualify it with Vanderbilt fan? I feel like that just you're just trying to invalidate my opinion.
I'm just stating facts. You're anti-Chip Kelly, correct?
Yes.
You're a Vanderbilt fan, correct?
These are both true things.
Okay.
Yeah, there's not wrong.
They have no correlation, though.
I mean, I think there's some correlation.
If
it may not be causation.
If anything, I want Chip Kelly because Derek Mason has had a very good track record against his offense.
As a defensive coordinator.
Okay. He still calls the plays. He still calls all the defensive plays. Okay, he's our defensive coordinator. Okay, we don't have one.
Okay. Vandy fan Peyton is anti-Chip Kelly. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Overtime on Fox Sports Knoxville. 6:15. Welcome back to Overtime. We are men of constant sorrow, men and women. We'll throw them in there too. They're a Tennessee fan. And a Vandy fan.
Yeah. These couple of weeks have not been forgiving to any of us in this building right now.
I just got a hateful glare.
There was no hate. No.
From Peyton.
You're just misreading me all over the place today, Brandon.
Okay, so like I said in the previous segment, I mean, we all basically know that this is the end of Butch, correct?
Yeah, I think after Saturday, it's finally a matter of when and not if, right? I mean, it has to be. So it feels like with every passing week, like you're regressing.
I mean, yeah, you would think. The only way I see that he gets out of it is if somehow God smiles on him on the third Saturday in October and they somehow beat Alabama.
No.
If that happens, it's not going to.
I'm not even entertaining
it. Not even, okay.
Yeah, I don't think it's even worth bringing up. Now it's just, I mean.
A snowball has a better chance in hell.
Yeah. Now it's just winning out every game except Alabama.
I mean,
is what people who are still behind him say. But, I mean, that's
I don't even think that could save him.
Unless.
No, no, come on. If he won out every game besides Alabama.
One high-profile game.
No, that's why you can't let that happen.
Well, no, I agree, but I'm saying if you do and he does that, I mean, 9-3, right?
Right.
His best record as a head coach, are you going to fire him after that?
Easily the softest schedule.
Sure, but his best record as a head coach, you're not going to fire him. That's just my point.
Hold on. Hear me out on this. If he did somehow miraculously finish out the season 9-3, he would stay. He would get an extension.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he would, but that team on Saturday is not winning 9 games.
No, I completely agree.
That team on Saturday is not beating South Carolina, is not beating Kentucky, is not beating Vanderbilt. They might beat Missouri. They might beat Southern Miss, and they might beat LSU because LSU is
really
terrible. LSU's not the team we thought they were coming into the season.
I agree. Yeah. And so, but you got to think about, I mean, what's going through?
Oh, they would spin it. If he went 9-3, they would spin it. Like,
I mean,
they
what's going through
administration?
Why not fire him? Because what if he could still win out and go 9-3 and still hypothetically win the East if Georgia loses two games?
But I think the thought is that after the Alabama game, he's done.
Yeah, that's basically the thought, and that's why you, I mean, you can't if it was me, I would not even give him a chance.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, and it's just why now it just couldn't be a more perfect time. I think under an interim coach, things are totally different. It's not like this team isn't talented. I think things would be totally different.
And what I keep hearing is you don't want the interim to go down to Alabama and just get absolutely demolished.
No.
Who cares?
I don't see how it hurts.
Who cares? Yeah, you're getting demolished either way.
He'll get demolished as an assistant. He'll get demolished as an interim. It doesn't matter.
It's Alabama.
They're going to demolish everybody in their path this season until they play Auburn in the last game of the year.
No, they'll demolish
them. They're not. I don't think they're going to demolish Auburn. They rarely demolish Auburn. I mean, they're going to beat Auburn. But the Iron Bowl is always, at least the first half, pretty entertaining. And Auburn's a good football team.
It's just this Alabama team looks different, in my opinion.
I agree. I'd argue that this.
I mean, we say it every year.
Yeah, we do. We do. Like, say it every year. It feels Nick Saban's best team.
This is the best.
I mean, I said it last year. They didn't even win a national championship. But, coming off of a loss in the national championship, 14-1, they're going to win it all, man. They're going to run the table.
Hold on. Before you carry on, just to put this in perspective, Alabama scored two SEC opponents, outscored them 125-3.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I let me walk you back a little bit. Granted, it is an amazing stat.
It doesn't matter.
Granted, it is Alabama and Vanderbilt. I understand.
Or Vanderbilt and
Ole Miss.
Ole Miss. And
possibly their two easiest games of the year besides LSU and Arkansas.
Okay. Still, an amazing stat, but I just wanted to throw that out there.
I mean, fair point. It's something. That's,
right.
No, those are two SEC teams.
No, I'm not denying that, but it...
Well, and it could continue. I mean, Alabama's schedule is pretty much a cakewalk up until Auburn in the last week. I mean, Florida State and Auburn, like, their season is just... Basically, the SEC now, is basically for Alabama, it's cupcakes. Besides the first and last game of the year, it's just sandwiching a bunch
now,
of cupcakes.
Now, I do realize that Mississippi State's kind of reeling right now after two pretty rough losses on the road, but you go to Starkville, that could maybe put a scare into Alabama, potentially. That, other than the Auburn game, is probably the best chance to do that, and it's not really realistic.
No, yeah, I honestly don't see Mississippi State putting any kind of scare in them. They'll go to Kyle Field, same thing. I think we're going to see three touchdowns of a margin. I really think that they're just going to absolutely walk through everybody until they get to Auburn.
They look angry.
They are angry.
They look... Last year's team was good, and you could tell they knew they were that good. This team is hungry.
They are. They should be angry.
Hungry Alabama is not good for anyone.
But back to the point, it's just disheartening because this, to me... You just couldn't have a better time to make a change. With 2 weeks to kind of recollect and have whoever comes in, whether it's the battle captain, which no way it happens, or Brady Hoke or Larry Scott to take over, just give them 2 whole weeks to get it together before the rest of the year. I feel like there could not be a better time than now.
I mentioned this yesterday, and we didn't really get into it that much. Nobody else said anything about it, but it's something that I noticed on Saturday that really kind of signaled to me that Butch Jones' time is coming to an end at Tennessee. His demeanor on the sidelines on Saturday, I don't know if you noticed it, but he was very, I would say about as calm.
Quiet.
Calm and quiet as a coach could be on the sideline. There were no... explosions on the sideline like we saw against UMass. There were no meltdowns. There was no yelling. There was no purple-faced Butch. We didn't see that on Saturday night. He looked defeated on the sideline. He looked like a coach who was defeated.
Butch is a smart guy, too. Butch knows. I mean, he knows the environment around him. Butch was in Memphis, I think, today or yesterday, for the Memphis Touchdown Club, which he does every year, to go visit with fans in West Tennessee. And there was nobody there. I mean, there was a line of maybe a dozen Tennessee fans to get his autograph.
That was brutal.
I mean, he was asked, I mean, he was, when he was introduced, I mean, they pretty much focused on his academic accomplishments as a head coach. I mean, Butch is a smart guy. Butch sees the writing on the wall.
To me, I think that just it to me, it signaled that the end is near for him.
And I think we all agree on that. The question is, what's next?
Who we gonna get?
You got to have a plan. You hope they have a plan. Well, I mean, John Curry is, you know, he's going through his mind. John Curry, he's done this before. He's made several hires.
It's ABB. That's the plan, ABB.
He's going through anybody
but Butch.
He's going through it in his mind. He's like, all right.
No, that's not.
If I do this, what am I going to do there? He's kind of, you hope, setting some kind of plan in place.
The point is, though, that they can't rush into it. They have to make the right hire. They have to. They have an opportunity right now with the foundation that Butch has set to put the next guy in a very good position to have long-term success. If they rush into it and make the wrong hire, because hiring a football coach, let alone anyone, is a very difficult job that does not get enough talk. People don't realize how hard it is to hire the right guy. They have to get this hire right, and if they're taking their time to make sure that they have the right guy lined up, I'm fine with it. Take a week. But this needs to be done now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it has to be a home run hire. Yeah, we all know that, but it's just with every week that Butch Jones is still the head coach, I feel like it regresses.
You know, I feel like people around town think it's insert guy, insert name that you want, and it's perfect. Marriage made in heaven. We can pay whoever we want, however much we want, and it's just simple like that. It's not. There are a lot of gears in motion here that people have to acknowledge.
Yeah, Chip. And I think the first thing to set those gears in motion is to fire the head coach.
Certainly, you have to have the guy that you want. You have to have a plan before you do that. Now, it's coming up on the amount of time that it would take to formulate a plan.
Well, yeah, they're not going to hire a coach in 2 weeks. There's going to be an interim for the rest of the season, but at least make it known you're moving on. I mean, without firing him, it feels like you're still saying they're giving him another chance. That's basically what they're saying, right? Without firing him, if they weren't giving him another chance, they would have fired him.
I would say that if Alabama wasn't left on the schedule, you almost want to. That'd be the final nail. That'd be the final nail in the coffin. There's no coming back.
See, I just think that's so ridiculous.
I agree with you, but I can see the thought process.
I see what you're saying. I just that kind of thought process. Just so, I mean, it's obviously inevitable. I mean, it's going to be a 50-60 point blowout. It doesn't matter who your coach is.
If that team on Saturday shows up in Tuscaloosa, Oof. What's the final score?
Whew! Oh, that team that we just saw on Saturday? Yeah, I mean, right around, the 60s. I mean, yeah.
I'd say worse than that. Say a lot worse than that.
If they play full strength for four quarters, they're not going to be throwing the ball around with 60.
If the team that showed up in Neyland on Saturday shows up to Tuscaloosa, if Vandy got beat 59-0 by them, and for a lot of those players, the biggest game of their life, whoa.
Yeah, I agree. It'll be in the 60s, but I'm saying they're not going to be scoring touchdowns up 60-0. That's the only reason I'm saying it wouldn't be in the 80s, 90s.
Chip Kelly is out there.
Man, our very own Russell Smith is just pushing it and pushing it. And the more he says it, the more I'm liking it. I mean, I've been on the Bobby Petrino train myself.
That's your first choice?
I've been on the Bobby. Well, who's your first choice?
Chip Kelly. Besides
Chip Kelly.
John Gruden.
Oh, come on. Can we not?
Bob Stoops.
Bob Stoops isn't gonna coach.
You go to him though. That's your first choice. They don't have to say yes.
Bob Stoops went on a radio station this week.
Nick Saban basically went before the media and said that he would not be the coach at Alabama.
Yeah.
What's he doing right now?
Okay. Yeah. That's a little that's
money
different.
Talks. Money talks, Lucas.
I'll give you the Saban one. But I think John Gruden and Bob Stoops aren't gonna happen. In my opinion, I feel like Bob Stoops has told.
Those are my top three.
Yeah, those would be my top. Obviously, I would love John Gruden or Bob Stoops. Those would obviously be my top three, but I'm trying to be realistic here.
You're asking who's my number one, I told you.
All right. I'm trying to be realistic here. But Chip Kelly's getting up there for me. I mean, yeah. I mean, if
Chip Kelly is – you don't think Chip Kelly's realistic?
No, yeah, I think he is fairly realistic.
Okay, so you'd put Petrino over.
No, I was saying that to this point, I've been Petrino, but I'm saying, honestly, Russell's starting to convert me. just with how much he's pushing it, the more I'm thinking about it, the more I like it.
Like I said, Peyton is anti-Chip Kelly, and he's going to tell you why when we come back. You're listening to Overtime on Fox Sports Knoxville. Welcome back to Overtime, Fox Sports Knoxville, 632. If you want to join us on the phones, give us a call, 865-546-8200. Peyton, you're anti-Chip.
I'm here to defuse the Russell Smith rhetoric. This ends now. Chip Kelly is not the right man at the University of Tennessee.
Go on.
Here's why. Chip Kelly, although an accomplished college coach, has had a lot of reasons over the last couple of years for people to kind of question him. He had never been questioned at Oregon. He was everyone's darling.
He was winning conference championships every year.
He was. He got to the NFL. His first year in the NFL, they go 10-6. They win a very, very weak NFC East. They were calling it the NFC Least. It was one of the worst divisions that I can recall in modern NFL history. They go 10-6. They win the division. Every year from then on out, they got worse. There's a specific reason for this. NFL coaches, because defensive coordinators in the NFL are pretty good at what they do, figured out his offense, and he refused to adapt. They don't run many plays in that type of offense. That's how they go so fast. It's a lot of the same shotgun looks. Running back lines up on the left or the right of the quarterback, zone read, sweep. You get the gist. They do a lot of the same things over and over and over again without much innovation, without much pre-snap dressing to throw off a defense. And when a defense is that fast, when a defensive coordinator is that good at what he does, it gets figured out. Thusly, they got worse every single year he was in the league. His offense got figured out. On top of that, people complain about Quentin Dormady running read option, Justin Worley running read option. This is the same man who was so stubborn that he was running read option plays with Sam Bradford, who torn an ACL in both legs and was not mobile to begin with. So there's that. There's a schematic side of it that I don't like. His success at Oregon's kind of inflated. When I say kind of, very inflated. He's 46-7 at the college level. He was 28-35, by the way, at the NFL level. But 46-7 at the college level in four seasons with the Ducks. Very successful right from the jump after his first season as an offensive coordinator at Oregon. He gets promoted to the head coaching job, and he runs with it. Well, that Pac-12 at the time that he came in was a Pac-10. Never had more than three teams ranked in the AP Top 25 at the end of the year. He has never beaten a ranked non-conference opponent. Not once. In the regular season, that is. With bowl games, yes, he's had some success, but in the big ones, he's lost. His chance in a national championship, they didn't handle the clock very well, and they lost that game. Questionable decisions in that game. People forget that. Oregon had plenty of opportunities to beat Auburn. They didn't do it. My bigger problem with Chip Kelly, though, is the fact that he cannot play well with others. This has been exemplified time and time again. When he is questioned, he refuses to back down even if he's wrong. Isn't this what happened with Butch Jones?
Brennan?
The question is yes.
Wait, sorry, repeat the question.
He does not play well with others. He will not take no for an answer. He will not... I'm trying to find a way to phrase this nicely. At the end of the day, Chip Kelly is my way or the highway. That's how Butch Jones was, yes? Look where we are now.
Nick Saban okay. is.
I mean, I'll say this.
Urban Meyer
I disagree entirely, actually, with that Nick Saban point. Nick Saban doesn't take crap from his coaches, yes. That was exemplified by Lane Kiffin. But he lets them do their job. Lane Kiffin completely altered the way Alabama played offense. He hires people that are going to do a good job, and he delegates. That's why Nick Saban's been so good for so long.
Yeah.
I'll say this, the difference between Butch Jones and Chip Kelly wins. Butch Jones does not. I don't care. I don't
does
care.
Does he?
I'm,
he's 2-14 his last season with the San Francisco 49ers.
I'm not. I don't care about the record in the NFL. This is college football.
Well, yeah, yeah, I'm gonna, and I'll jump in too. So, and with the 49ers too, I mean, doomed from the start. I mean, that organization is just so dysfunctional.
Sure.
Was never going to be good.
Sure.
And then, and all your points about his, what he did in pro football was good. He came in, completely revolutionized the Eagles offense, and then it kind of got stale. I totally agree. But, I mean, at the, I mean, I really, really, really could not care less what he did in the NFL, and your points are all good, and your points are good about what he did at Oregon too. The Pac-10 was not very good this year, that those years. The SEC East is bad.
That's
it's
fine.
Bad. Had he come in 2010, 2011, yeah, he maybe would have gotten a division title, but he wouldn't have done anything in the SEC East.
That's fine. All of that is fine. Isn't the goal at Tennessee to win national championships? I do not believe Chip Kelly can do that.
Well, I don't honestly. I don't know if anybody can do that as long as Nick Saban's over at Alabama.
That
I
should
really
be the
don't.
Goal, though.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. It is the goal, but that's just my opinion that there's no coach Tennessee could hire that is going to come in and start winning national championships over Nick Saban.
And to that point, yes, that kind of makes what I'm saying a moot point because, yeah, the standard is Nick Saban, but it's hard to reach that bar. My grander point about Chip Kelly is the fact that I believe he has schematically been figured out. And he's refused to adapt his offense. DeMarco Murray, the man who led the league in rushing when he came to Philadelphia after being signed as a free agent by the Cowboys. Chip Kelly made that decision, by the way. He was a general manager in Philadelphia, and yeah. I know he's not having to appraise personnel.
He let go of LeSean McCoy and brought in DeMarco Murray and completely misused him.
7.2 inches per carry for DeMarco Murray.
Yeah, no, that was the worst season of his football career by far, but I don't care. I mean, I don't care that he ran the read option with Sam Bradford. He didn't draft Sam Bradford. He didn't make the decision to draft Sam Bradford.
You're right. He traded for him.
He's going to come in, and he's going to recruit his guys. At Oregon, nobody figured out what he was doing. You're right. It was in the Pac-10. He got two chances to play SEC teams at Oregon. One was 2010 against Tennessee. Tennessee team ended up going 6-7 that he came in and demolished, but not Derek Dooley's first team at Tennessee.
Yeah.
The other one was Auburn.
And then they got killed by LSU in a season-opening kickoff game. As well.
What year was that?
That was the year before he left. The first year they had DeAnthony Thomas.
2012?
I believe so. Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Well, 2012, loses to LSU. National championship game against Auburn. Some clock mismanagement. Auburn, better football team in that game.
I completely agree.
Oregon racked up 450 yards of total offense against one of the best defenses in the country.
Yes.
With Nick Fairley and all those guys. But the whole main thing I couldn't care less what he did in the NFL. If Alabama cared what Nick Saban did in the NFL, they wouldn't have gotten him.
I get the point.
If South Carolina cared what Steve Spurrier did in the NFL, they would have gotten him.
Sure.
I couldn't care less.
The point that I was making, though, was the fact that he is unable to adapt an offense that schematically has been figured out. I know it's the NFL, but you don't see the best teams in the country right now. Clemson, Ohio State, Penn State, Alabama. All have power run schemes. That's for a reason. Athletes are faster now. They're able to, because of that phenomenon, everyone has speed. What he did has kind of defeated his offense because everybody copycatted him and brought in that philosophy of you can't teach speed, but you can recruit it. Now everybody's got a little bit of speed. Teams play sideline to sideline a lot better nowadays. And for that reason, you don't see lateral run schemes working at the college level anymore. You just don't. For that reason, I don't think he's a right hire. I don't think his offense would fly at the same capacity that it did at Oregon.
Yeah, I just think you're really overestimating SEC East defenses.
It's not about the East. Sure, you can go
right now. It is about the East.
What's so much better about going 9-3 and winning the East? I also don't think he can catch Georgia. That's an SEC East defense that I'd be afraid of. Florida's defense will reload.
Georgia, right now, Georgia is by far the best team in the East. And if Chip Kelly got hired today, I don't think he would beat Georgia. Georgia's losing a whole lot of guys next year.
But
a lot of guys.
You know what? Kirby Smart's a really good coordinator.
Yeah, he's a great recruiter.
And
great
he's
corner,
recruited
great recruiter. They're probably
going to
reload. But I just truly, truly believe, with everything, the NFL stuff, like I'm not even going to look at it, that he would come in and he would win this division. He really would. I mean, he would take Tennessee 9-10 wins. Chip Kelly's a better coach than Butch Jones. They have somewhat similar offensive strategies, Chip Kelly and Butch Jones. And I think Chip Kelly would come in and wouldn't mismanage like Butch Jones has mismanaged using the wrong players in the wrong positions. I think he would come in and recruit the guys that he wanted to recruit like he did at Oregon. And I think he would do really well in this awful division.
But also the high profile guys that Chip Kelly recruited didn't pan out. The DeAnthony Thomases. Well, no, in period at the college level. His biggest hits, LaMichael James, Marcus Mariota, these guys were 2-3-star guys that he made into top players. But the top, similar to kind of Butch Jones in that way, a lot of the guys that he had at the top of his classes never panned. And that's somewhat concerning to me.
Very concerning about Butch Jones, but I can't name any 2-3-star guys that he, besides John Kelly, that he really developed. Butch Jones doesn't develop his players. It's been by far his biggest criticism. So if anything, you're pointing out what is Butch Jones' biggest weakness and calling it one of Chip Kelly's biggest strengths. Taking guys like Marcus Mariota that weren't very highly recruited, turning him into a Heisman winner. DeAnthony Thomas, LaMichael James, best rusher in Oregon history.
And he was a Heisman candidate.
Runner up at the Heisman. So, I mean, if anything, then I like what you're saying right now.
But here's the deal. I came on Voluntary Reaction and said that Marcus Mariota had not won a Heisman. It was late. I didn't really think through the statement. He had won a Heisman. It was under Helfrich.
Yeah. Marcus Mariota
was also
a great player before. Helfrich was still Chip Kelly's offensive coordinator.
But Helfrich was also a large part of his success at Oregon.
And I think he would be here.
Helfrich?
You really think so?
I think he would be
He's unemployed right now, is he not?
Yeah.
Okay, and let's stick with that unemployed theme. Here's the other big thing that scares me. The fact that Chip Kelly was available last year with all these high-profile jobs across the country and didn't get a single college interview. The fact that the Jags had an opportunity to hire him as an offensive coordinator, didn't do it. The Patriots, Bill Belichick is really good friends with Chip Kelly, brought him in for an interview and didn't hire him. Why?
I don't care. It's the NFL. I don't care.
But all the LSU did not interview him. Texas didn't interview him. Why?
All right. Well, Tom Herman, I mean, hottest up and coming commodity in the state of Texas. And then with LSU, I mean, they were going to go to Coach O. The players.
Purdue didn't bring him in for an interview.
I don't think he wanted Purdue.
Yeah, I don't think he would have been interested.
I do not think
he would have taken a job at Purdue.
He was out of work. What was he going to do?
Just because I don't think he would be interested in that Purdue job at all.
Minnesota.
No.
Chip Kelly. Yeah.
Oregon.
They wouldn't hire him.
We're going to hire him again.
He burned every bridge out of
he's not
going to
hire
out.
Him at Oregon.
Well, and that's another thing, the recruiting violations thing, considering he never really recruited that well at Oregon, and you're going to bring a guy in here who has had a past of recruiting violations with this whole FBI probe going on.
Yeah,
that's a little bit concerning.
I agree, and you point to the NCAA stuff that Tennessee will never hire. But then I've looked into that a lot because that is the biggest reason why Tennessee wouldn't hire a coach is past NCAA stuff. And the stuff at Oregon, recruiting violations that a lot of his assistants committed, that he ended up being cleared himself, got an 18-month show cause because it was his assistants under his regime at Oregon. And he didn't kill it in the recruiting trail at Oregon. If he came to Tennessee, like we said, Derek Dooley recruited well at Tennessee. I mean, Derek Dooley consistently got top 15, top 20 classes at Tennessee. I think Chip Kelly would
consider. It's not hard to recruit to the University of Tennessee.
No, not at all. So Chip Kelly would come in and recruit pretty damn well at the University of Tennessee. And then your point about making 2-3 stars Heisman candidates. If he did that at Tennessee, I mean, he could win several SEC East Division championships. And that's unfortunate, but at this point, that's what we have to hope for.
But can he at this point? The question is, can he? That offense was revolutionary at the time, but now everybody runs it.
Yeah, but like I said, I think you're really overestimating SEC defenses to stop that offense under Chip Kelly with the right personnel on the field.
I mean, they stop it now, don't they?
With who?
Generally anyone. You look at the spreads that come in and play SEC opponents. If it's a high-level SEC opponent, they generally get shut down. Yeah, look at what Vandy did to MTSU.
Oh, come on. Don't give me MTSU.
With Brent Stocks, that was a team that averaged 40-plus points a game last year, I think.
Yeah, and a Conference USA. I don't care about MTSU. Give me another one.
Okay, let me think for a second. Who played the big season opener games in the SEC?
Florida State, Alabama. You have Tennessee, Georgia Tech. You have Florida, Michigan. You have South Carolina, NC State.
There you go. That's an SEC defense pretty much neutralizing a spread offense.
Is NC State a spread offense?
Yes.
All right, well.
A variant spread offense given, but it's a spread.
We're comparing NC State over here to Chip Kelly's offenses at Oregon.
My thing is that's the offense that he ran that was hot 5 years ago that isn't hot anymore. It's been figured out.
I think Chip Kelly would come in and win the division several
times. He runs like 15 plays.
Chip Kelly would kill it here. 10-3, 12-1, 12-2, 12-1.
What? Are you just talking about his records? Again, I say that the Pac-12 was really bad then.
All right. Rose Bowl win.
The guy won his division every year.
Won his conference every year he was there.
But that was 5 years ago when the offense had no answers. Everybody's got the answer now. The formula to stopping the spread is not hard. You figure out the alignment before the play because they run like five alignments. Pretty much, in San Francisco, teams knew what they were running before the snap.
All right, but your argument with his time in Philadelphia is that, I mean, by the second year, people figured out what he was doing, right? I mean, third year, people knew
production
what he was doing.
Came down incrementally every year.
I mean, he was at Oregon. Defense coordinators didn't know what he was going to do by his third, fourth year at Oregon.
But now there's tape on how to stop it.
I'm saying by his third, fourth year at Oregon, defensive coordinators probably knew how to stop his personnel just flat out was faster than people, like you said.
But teams don't recruit like you can't just out-recruit speed anymore. Everybody's on that trend.
Chip Kelly didn't recruit that well at Oregon, you said. If he came here, I think he would get more than enough personnel for his offense.
All right. Let's catch a break. Final segment of hour number one coming your way after this. Final segment of hour number one on overtime. Things got a little contested last segment. Talking about Chip Kelly. I feel like we're going to have to agree to disagree.
Well,
I think you bring in Chip Kelly and I think you're a contender right away.
I think that may be the case. My broader point was that by pointing all these things out, let alone the fact that, and I didn't want to have to play the card, but I think it is necessary, there is significant evidence to think that Chip Kelly may be a tinge racist, just a little bit, with the whole Riley Cooper thing and multitudes of players coming out and saying that there was an awkward racial relationship going on between Chip Kelly and themselves. That could be another thing to keep an eye on, but besides that, the thing with Chip Kelly is that everybody's gung-ho on him. He's the guy. He's the option. Mainly because he's not in a job right now that they would have to buy him out of. But I think there are far better options out there for them. You may be able to win the conference. There's Alabama. The division with Chip Kelly. I think you can do more with other guys.
You think that Tennessee could hire a coach to come in, beat Alabama?
I don't think anyone in the country outside of Clemson who already has the guy who can do that.
Well, you just said that there are coaches that Tennessee could come in and do that.
I corrected the statement. I said they can win the East and they can be better than they would be with Chip Kelly.
Those would be?
Well, I personally am a big fan of Dan Mullen. I know the last 2 weeks have not gone well for him, but I know what he can do with the right defensive coordinator, with the right assets that Tennessee has. Mississippi State does not.
I could get behind Mullen. He would not be my first choice. He would not really be my second choice. But I could get behind Mullen.
I'll throw another name out there, Mike Leach. A lot of people are starting to talk about him after that win over USC. Now, I know it's an air raid, and I just made this whole big argument about the spread not being able to be an offense that can be run in the SEC because of the athletes. Well, okay. Mike Leach, unlike Chip Kelly, is willing to adapt his offense. If you caught that USC game, and I've kept an eye on Washington State over the last 2 years, they run the football between the tackles. He adapts his offense to his personnel, and he does what's best for his football team, regardless of what his quote-unquote offensive philosophy is. So I think Mike Leach is another interesting one.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting name. I just don't know if it would fly well here. With all the, I mean, having to go around to the boosters, going to all these, the quarterback club, all this different stuff. I just don't know if that's, if that's for one, Mike Leach's thing, or if two, if he kind of fits that mold for them.
Yeah. And
if you, I mean, the dude's a weird guy, which I don't care as long as he wins football games, but the dude's weird.
And I do think that a Mike Leach offense would get stopped before a Chip Kelly offense here. I think a Chip Kelly offense with the right personnel would just put up 60 points a game until they went into an Alabama 60? Defense. Against the terrible SEC East defenses out here, against the Missouris and Kentuckys and the Floridas, yeah.
You're bashing the SEC East defenses. I think the offenses are really the problem. I think Vandy's defense has not showed well the last couple weeks, but I think they're a pretty good group.
Yeah, but I mean, we're not
Florida's
talking about,
got a good defense.
We're talking about defending the spread, right? We're talking about defending the air raid.
Right. And these teams have athletes. Kentucky's been without one of their better linebackers the last couple weeks, but Kentucky's a good defensive unit. I think they can play with a spread offense. I really do.
It's going to do it for hour number one. We're going to catch a break. We'll be right back. Hour number two of overtime. Coming your way after this break.